If I could invite you to remain standing for our scripture reading, which comes this morning from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 7 through 20. Therefore, brothers and sisters, you must be patient as you wait for the coming of the Lord. Consider the farmer who waits patiently for the coming of rain in the fall and spring, looking forward to the precious fruit of the earth. You also must wait patiently, strengthening your resolve because the coming of the Lord is near. Don't complain about each other, brothers and sisters, so that you won't be judged. Look, the judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of patient resolve and steadfastness. Look at how we honor those who have practiced endurance. You've heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen what the Lord has accomplished, for the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Most important, my brothers and sisters, never make a solemn pledge. Neither by heaven nor earth nor by anything else, instead speak with a simple yes or no, or else you may fall under judgment. If any of you are suffering, they should pray. If any of you are happy, they should sing. If any of you are sick, they should call for the elders of the church, and the elders should pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Prayer that comes from faith will heal the sick, for the Lord will restore them to health, and if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. For this reason, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful in what it can achieve. Elijah was a person just like us. When he earnestly prayed that it wouldn't rain, no rain fell for 3.5 years. He prayed again, God sent rain, and the earth produced its fruit. My brothers and sisters, if any of you wander from the truth and someone turns back the wanderer, recognize that whoever brings back a sinner from the wrong path will save them from death and will bring about the forgiveness of many sins. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. If I can invite you to be seated, please. This morning we're going to wrap up our sermon series on the New Testament, book of James. And I don't know about you all, but I have to admit to you that I've been convicted as I've read this book of the Bible. Because James talks to us about life. James talks to us about our relationships. He talks to us about the way that we're to communicate with one another. He talks about the way we're to hold one another accountable, the way we're to be patient with one another, the way we're to speak, the way we're to react. All I can say is after every sermon this series, I've gone, oh God, that's exactly what I talked about on Sunday. And so James is an interesting book because I feel like it's one that speaks to us in our day-to-day life. You know, I think we can read some of the other books of the Bible and the authors of the Bible are presenting us, you know, different experiences. They're sharing with us. They're helping us to see what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And as I have studied this book, the book of James, I feel like what James is saying to us is when it comes to your faith, here's where the rubber meets the road. Here's how you're to talk. Here's how you're to live with one another. Here's how you're to model wisdom in your life. Here's how you're to be humble. Here's how you're to live. And so this morning, Sunday, is a wrap-up as we talk about the final chapter of the book of James. But I also want to say it's setting the stage a little bit for our next sermon series we're going to do, which is going to be called The Promises That We Make. And it'll start on October 15th. And in the Promises We Make series, we're going to be talking really about what it means for us to be a follower and a believer of Christ as we're involved in the Christian church. And we'll spend some time talking about what it means for us to be a part of a church, what it means for us to practice our faith and community with other people, and the covenant that we make or the promise that we make with other people as we become followers of Jesus Christ. And this morning's scripture we've read from James chapter 5. And it's a portion of scripture that can really be divided into three areas, and there's two of them that I want to talk about this morning or that spoke to me as I was reading them. And the first part is James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12, where James writes about what it means for us to be patient or to exhibit or to model or to practice patience in our lives. Now, James also goes a bit further. Because he says that not only are we to be patient in our lives, but we're to be patient in the way that we're waiting for the return of Jesus. But in any case, we have to be patient, don't we? When it comes to patience, I believe at this time that patience is probably one of the hardest things that you and I can do or model in our life. We're a people and a culture that have become impatient. We're impatient in the way we communicate. I mean, who hasn't sent a message, you know, via text or whatever else and not expected a response, you know, within the next 5 minutes? Every text I send, I expected a response within 5 minutes. We're impatient in the way we travel. We want to get there as fast as we can in the shortest amount of time, don't we? And so we go. We're impatient in the way that we eat. You know, the ease that it is to go through a drive-thru and pick up food and go on the way home. We're impatient in the way we buy and in the way we get material things and items. How often do we wait for something? We subscribe to the message of now. We subscribe to the message that we know what we want and we want it today. And so in some ways, as I think about James's message to us, in James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12, when James is talking to us about what it means for us to be patient, that's not always something that we practice. It's not always something that we really do. And so he gives us this example of a farmer who plants seeds in the ground, knowing that for the harvest to occur, time must pass, and patience must be exemplified. To be a farmer is to plant knowing that there are so many conditions and things that can happen even after you've done everything right that can affect germination, that can affect growth, that can affect harvest, that can affect everything. And so James says, look to the farmer and think about how you are supposed to be patient in your life. Patience isn't something that comes naturally for most of us. I love some of the examples that in our children's time they shared with us this morning about ways that we all can learn patience. Whether it's interrupting someone, whether it's taking the time to jot something down before we say it so that we know what we're going to say, so that we know what we need to say. I mean, there's wisdom in both of those things. But there's also growth for all of us. Because we all have to show patience. Whether it's an email that we write or an email that we receive and it demands a response, it warrants a response, but sometimes we have to wait a day, don't we? Before we write that response, so that we don't really say what we really think, but we offer the what we really think in a slightly edited and more nice version, rather than just firing it off. Patience isn't something that comes naturally. It's something we have to work on. It's something we have to practice. It's something that we have to ask God to help us to develop it in an even greater way within us. So James, in James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12, talks about how we're to be a people that model patience. But also you can go and read Galatians chapter 5. When Paul lists the fruits of the Spirit and he tells the community of faith in Galatia of what they're to be and of how they're to live, as he lists it, he says patience is one of those things. See, so it's not just an isolated thing that James is telling us that we have to have and possess as followers of Jesus, but Paul himself is also saying patience is a virtue. And not only is it a virtue, but it's a gift or a way that God's Spirit works in and through us in helping us to be patient. And so for James, we have to have patience, and for us to exhibit patience, it's for us to realize and for us to recognize, and more importantly, for us to see and acknowledge that things aren't always under our control. See, to have patience is to not just be willing to wait for something, but for us to have patience, it strikes me that we have to have the humility to realize that no matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we push, some things are just out of our control. And see, that's not really something I want to hear, because I want to be in control, don't you? I want to be in control of when things happen, of how they happen, and of the outcome, and of what goes into it. But what James says to us, and what James helps us to see, is that if we are to truly be a people who model patience in the way that God would want us, and in the way that Jesus Himself modeled patience, is we have to have the humility to realize that no matter how hard we go at it, it may just be out of our hands. And so there's humility when you plant a seed, knowing that you can do everything right, and there's still a chance that it's not going to grow or turn out the way you want it to. There's humility when you start a project, not knowing how it's going to end, not knowing what the final outcome is going to be. There is humility when we exhibit and offer patience towards others, knowing that we are not in control, and knowing that the final outcome may or may not be the way you or I would envision it to be. As hard as it is, when we're patient with one another, we change how we act, and we change how we deal with other people. We speak kinder to each other. We're more understanding towards each other. And then James says, if we're patient, we avoid the quarrels and the grumbles that occur when we are impatient, or when we try and rush, or when we try to attempt to influence things that are beyond our control. See, because not only James says, you know, that we're to be patient, but he couples that with what it means for us to live in community with one another. And so when he says that we're to be patient to and with one another, in the way that we wait for the return of God, in the way that we wait for others, in the way that we just wait for God to work, he said when we model that patience, we don't argue as much with others. We're not as short with others. We don't try and push things through. We realize with humility that it's not all about us. And everything's not under our control. And then he continues with writing about prayer in verses 13 through 20. And we're going to be talking about prayer in a couple weeks, so I just want to touch on it. But in verses 13 through 20, James writes about how we're to pray in faith. He wants us to see that our living story, our story, is part of a larger story that's God's story. And for us to stay as an active participant in the larger story of God, we have to frame our actions, who we are, what we believe, in our life with prayer. See, for him, he tells us that if we're to see everything that we're doing as part of God's larger plan, and that we're just a cog in God's wheels, and if we're just, you know, someone who's contributing to God's work on this earth, then for us to stay keyed in on what God is doing in our lives, we have to open our lives to God in prayer. James reminds us of the power of prayer by saying if we're sick, we're to pray with one another. If we're hurt, we need to pray with one another. If we're joyful, we need to pray with one another. And then he says, look at the prophets, and he lifts Job and he lifts Elijah. And he says those are both models of prayer. Elijah's stories in 1 Kings 17 and 18, and just a very brief recap of Elijah, is he was a prophet called by God to face King Ahab. King Ahab had married Queen Jezebel. And they were following other gods and doing other things and leading the people of Israel astray. And so God lifted up this prophet Elijah. And so part of what Elijah did to catch Ahab's attention and to make Ahab realize that there was more to this, is Elijah began praying that God would stop the rain and that the land of Israel would suffer from a drought. And so James says, look at Elijah, when he prayed for 3.5 years, the rain did not fall. And then after Elijah had confronted Ahab and Jezebel, and you all may know that story, Elijah looked to the mountains and he prayed and he said, Lord, let the rains come. And they came. Elijah did that to help people to see the power of God. And we read that scripture to help us to remember what it means for us to pray. knowing that oftentimes our prayers may not end up the way we hope they would, but knowing that if we pray, we remain faithful and we remain in tune to God's larger plan for us and for our community and for the world when it comes to being followers of Jesus Christ. See, James teaches us how to live. He teaches us how to live with patience and with humility, with love and with prayer, with wisdom and with true speech. These are all things that must become part of our lives. As we invite God to work in our lives, as we make them a larger part of our lives, and as we ask God to help us to grow in each of these areas. See, James speaks to life. And I pray that each day God will increase in all of our lives the ability for us to be humble, for us to be patient, for us to be loving, prayerful, and for us to really have wisdom when it comes to the words we use and the way we choose to say them. Amen.